Are you listening? Damn.
Welcome back to the Impact Lounge. Yeah. You are in the number one place to be for the Impact Wrestling fan. This is the Cool Factor Mailbag Show. I'm your host, TW, and of course with me is the man with the plan, BQ. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, everybody? Finger guns. Mailbag episode. We haven't done one of these in a while. And because we're recording a little bit later than we typically do in the week, it's like pointless for us to really review the show. So we're going to do a mailbag this week. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, and we've mentioned in the past, we're not always necessarily going to review this show if there's something else to do. We've actually been talking about trying to get back in the interview game. It actually helped for TW to be involved because I don't like doing interviews by myself. So kind of help. It's kind of cool to have someone with me. Done a couple like that in the past, so they're cool. But yeah, we're gonna dig into the mailbag today and just change a pace for y'all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So in the mailbag, what all have? Well, before we dive into the mailbag, has there been any Impact related news? Any Impact related chatter that you wanted to talk about?
I like chowder. The one thing that's been on my mind is Rich Swann winning the Digital Media Championship. However, the mailbag's got some questions regarding the Digital Media Championship, so probably won't get into that too terribly much.
All right, so let's do it. Let's dive into the mailbag. Let's see what the people want to talk about.
Yeah, let's do this. Lewis Carlin asks, will the Knicks win it all this year? Yes. They're not in the playoffs. But start off with a bang. So all right, so we're going to start with Mike Gilbert. Mike has been on the show, he's been on the channel. We were trying to do the Impact Republic podcast as a monthly thing, and it's been real difficult to pull off with our schedules. And now with him on Hawaii time, it's really, really difficult. But hopefully we'll get that opportunity. But he also works over at Fight Game Media, has a Bracer Impact podcast, so check that out. So he was the first one to throw a question at us today. This is from the Impact Lounge engagement group. So if you guys want to get involved in that group, just look that up on Facebook, and we'll get you all hooked up. So Lewis, I just brought up with his Knicks question. He made a podcast. So this is Mike's question is in regard to Lewis's podcast. And Matt Cardone actually retweeted it. It was funny. He said, your podcast sucks.
But I did see that. That was hilarious.
So Lewis had done a podcast saying, should they retire the Impact Wrestling Digital Media Championship? So, he was just talking about what it was supposed to do and what it's been. And just to recap that real quick, and I'll get into the question. What he's getting at is that when they came out with the Digital Media Championship, you know, people had their thoughts about it at first, obviously. But I think many people, including myself, very open-minded because they said they basically were saying we're going to do something ahead of its time. We're going to leverage social media. There's going to be matches released on Twitter or on Facebook or these YouTube exclusive matches. And the YouTube exclusive matches in general was cool for like 3 weeks, and now they just give you random indie matches. So it's like they already kind of gave up on that. But they kind of painted, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to leverage social media for this championship. And fast forward to now, it's been, I don't know, 4 months maybe. I'm just taking a guess. It's no different than any other title. It's no different. It's the Grand Championship. It's the King of the Mountain Championship. It's nothing. You know what I mean? And some people like the King of the Mountain, but if you look back at the Grand Championship, that really quickly became nothing. And it feels like this is what it is. They have not done what they said they were going to do with it, basically what he was getting at. So Mike says, Lewis made a great point on his podcast, should Impact shit-can the digital media title? And then he's also asking, is the knockouts tag division an utter waste of time? So let's get into the digital media stuff first. What are your thoughts on it? So, you know, I just explained the podcast, you know, quickly. They said it was going to be this. It's we're going to do something ahead of its time. You know, they said we're always ahead of the curve or whatever they said. And it's not, it's just a belt. It's just a prop belt. That's it.
Right. So I actually completely disagree with Lewis on this one. I think that for me, the Impact Digital Media Championship, like, you got to give it a chance. You know what I mean? Like, you got to give it a chance to be something. And, like, listen, anything in the world of wrestling is only as good as you book it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like that goes for everything. I was just having a conversation with some people about Athena in AEW and you know, just like an offshoot of all these conversations about name insert person here who's not Britt Baker into AEW. And like, you can be like, oh, this person sucks, they can't get over. You could say that all you want to, but like, people are only as good as you use them. Titles are only as good as you use them. So if you were putting the digital media championship, like, why are we throwing hate to the digital media championship? What did the digital media championship do to anybody? Like, that championship is only going to be as interesting as the storylines you put it in. You know what I mean? So, like, the title itself. Now, I do think it's a great idea to come up with interesting rules for a title so that the title actually, like, means something. And again, that just creates plot devices that you can kind of plug and play your storylines with. But I don't know. I don't have any problem with the titles. No worse than any of the rest of the titles. You know, I've said a million times that I think the X Division is an outdated concept, you know, but they still have that title. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why the Digital Media Championship is anything worse than any of the other championships. Having it on Matt Cardona was a great person to have it on. He does a lot of indie shows and he carries that title with him. So he can always, you know, be presented as the Impact Digital Media Champion. So, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a fine idea.
But I think what it is they come out with the belt. People didn't like it initially, the way it looked. And then no one liked the name. I think like three people did and they all work for Impact. So then, I mean, people were whatever on the belt. Some people liked it, some didn't, but most people didn't like the name. But then we're like, well, let's give it a chance because they're going to do something new and different with this. And that's, I think that's a problem where they just haven't. I don't know if they didn't have a clear vision for it. Like, I think they had a concept in mind, but they didn't have a clear vision. You know, like, I was listening to, I can't believe I listened to it for 2 hours, was Tony Khan's media scrum that he does after the pay-per-views.
I've only grabbed bits and pieces of that, and he definitely seemed like he was getting his Tony Montana on.
Dude, he was... That's why it was 2 hours, dude. He would answer the question so long-winded and just like, this one is going to go. I'm like, right. Oh my God, bro. That, by the way, that media scrum, I think, is a great idea.
Yo, Impact should have been doing that for the longest time.
Yeah. I'm going to go off topic here for a second because Impact was doing the media calls for a bit, you know? And when they first came out with that, I was involved in the first few, you know? When they first did it, it was very popular because I think the first people they had on might have been like Don Callis and Scott D'Amore. You know, because like Triple H, I remember, used to do them quarterly for WWE or NXT or whatever it was. And then it started transitioning into like this weird podcast. You know, like you actually had Wrestling Inc. Is that what they call Wrestling Inc.? Wrestle Inc.?
Okay. There's definitely a website called Wrestling Inc.
Okay, so you had Wrestling Inc. there. You had Nick Hausman on there. Sean Rossap. You had dudes showing up to these. And then it started becoming like this weird podcast where the wrestlers were like kayfabing. And I did a couple, man. I did a couple Sami Callihan and one Trevor Lee one that I couldn't have been more disinterested in because they were just so in character that we weren't getting anywhere on the questions. You know, like,
right.
It was just like
right.
Watching a weird wrestling show. So I thought when Impact was doing that, similar to like the media scrum, you know, like again, higher profile podcasters and websites were showing up.
Yeah.
And then it became just this weird like kayfabe thing that they did and no one had any interest in. I mean, they would send us questions. You know, ask, do they like pineapple on pizza? I had asked Trevor Lee, Waffle House or IHOP? So I asked him the fucking question and he was like, I don't eat at either of them. I'm like, what the fuck was this question doing on here? You know what I'm saying? So anyway, man.
Well, so they like fed you questions that you had to ask.
I shouldn't say they fed, but they're like, here's the list of, you don't have, they you know, I think the email's like, you don't have to ask what's on here, but like, we like to be in these parameters, basically, you know?
That's so stupid.
So it wasn't like, hey, ask these, but it was a list of like, here's some ideas, you know?
Right.
I
think that concept is so stupid because, like, yo, like, social media, the whole point of social media is for people to feel like they can get their voice out. They can interact with these people that they would never otherwise be able to touch and interact with. So like, yo, take some questions, right? Like you even see in the lore of WWE, right? Like the clips of people going off the rails on Bite This is like some of the best stuff. Like, just let it happen, man. Like somebody is gonna ask you a question that you're not prepared for, fine. Take it, you know what I mean? Take the question and give the best, you know, the best prepared. Yo, Triple H talks forever on his media appearances and says nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta just do it. Let somebody come up like me, right? If I could ask Scott DeMore a question, I'd ask him the question that I ask all the time on our show, which is, how would you sell Impact to a 15-year-old who has no idea about TNA? You know what I mean? Like, what would you say is what's the pitch to get that fan as opposed to the 40-year-old who's been watching since 2007? You know what I mean? Like, so what's the pitch? That's what I want to know. And so, you know, like maybe you don't have a pitch plan for that, but like, again, give us something, right? Like, these are the type of things people want to know. People want to be able to ask. And if you stand up here and take these questions, then it's going to make people more interested and they're going to try to come with more questions. And those questions might be a pain, but if the ultimate result is interest in your product, then that's a good thing.
Yeah. The media scrum, I mean, had almost 300,000 views on YouTube after, you know, as of a few hours ago. I mean, that's easy content, dude. And that brings in money because the highest YouTube traffic you're going to get is as after a pay-per-view. Like, I can tell you that as a content creator, but that is something that, yeah, I thought Impact could have done. It's easy, you know? But my point was, Tony had said in it, like, he had a vision. I'm not trying to compare the AEW World title to the Digital Media Championship, but he, you know, there was many questions that came up where you could tell he had a vision for his world title, right, you know? Right. That's why Adam Page ended up winning it when he probably, people didn't really want to see it, but he stuck to his course. But he had a vision. He had a lot mapped out. And so to go back to the Digital Media Championship, I think they had an idea of like, hey, this would be cool. But I don't really think there was like much of a plan. I don't think they had much mapped out. I think they were just like, let's just roll with the punches. And then as time passed, it's kind of like, I don't really know what to do with this thing. And, you know, Matt Cardona, I thought, was perfect as a champion. And we were kind of excited, like, oh, dude, this perfect guy to hold the belt, you know? And then he started calling it Digital Media World Championship and playing it up and didn't really defend it. I think he might have defended against Jordan Grace one time. And then it became a prop and they didn't do anything with it. And Randy Adams here asked a very similar question. So, you know, kind of tying it all together, but Cardona could have been a really good champion for that belt. And now he lost it. He lost it to Rich Swann. I think he might have dropped it because he got hurt.
Yeah.
I think he got hurt before the match. I don't know. But I know he did drop it to Rich Swann. And then I guess he stole the belt. So I don't know what they're doing. I guess we're going to wait for TV to roll around and maybe get some answers, but
yeah,
I don't know. Like, it just seemed like there was an opportunity to do something different, and all these months have passed and nothing has been done different. So it's kind of like, how are people going to get behind it at this point?
Yeah. I feel like this, look, and I said this when the whole title first came out, like, as Impact fans, we're going to find a way to poo-poo it. We're going to be like, oh, this is not a revolutionary game changer that makes Impact the number two wrestling promotion. And therefore, this must be something to just throw in the trash, LOL TNA, right? But like, if it was the same thing, but for AEW, people would be singing its praises and they'd be telling you why this is such a great idea. So like, I think that, you know, is it some great revolutionary idea? No, it's not. Is there fun things they could do with it? Yes, fine. But honestly, like, again, in the grand scheme of a wrestling show, right? Like, a title is just a plot device, right? It's a device you can use to create a plot between two characters, right? Like, I mean, that's what it is. So, you know, like, yeah, like, again, it would have been fun if there were some unique ways the title defenses were structured and they stuck to that plan, and you know, something exclusive about where this title appeared or didn't appear or something like that, but that's not the case. So it's just another thing. That doesn't mean you have to scrap it. That's where I'm coming from.
Okay,
that's
where I'm coming enough. From
is that, like, is it anything special? No, it's not. But what is special in wrestling these days?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Rich Swann as the champion. This is going to be the real test, because he didn't win a tournament for it. He's not known for his social. Rich Swann doesn't even have social media at all. Go to his Twitter. Impact still tags it. He has done not ever since the thing happened with him and Sue, where he got fired from WWE. As a member of Impact Wrestling, he has never tweeted, and he does not have an active Instagram account. I think it might be out there, but there's nothing posted, nothing. And now not even Sue posts anymore. So he's off the radar for digital media. Social media. So we're going to see what happens. So
for those reasons, it's probably good that he's not posting or something.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
But Mike's other half of the question was talking about the Knockouts tag division, if it's an utter waste of time. So I personally like the Knockouts tag team division. I don't remember what group I was in Facebook. It might have been the engagement group, where someone said, how do you feel about the Knockouts titles being on the pre-show? They should be on the main show. And I'm like, well, the Knockouts tag team titles, I believe that the pre-show should mean something. And when I say mean something, I'm referring to the pre-show used to be Triple XL versus the Deaners. Like, right. A match.
A main event anywhere in the world.
What's that?
A main event anywhere in the world.
Yeah, yeah. but it's a match nobody cared about. And, like, that's not going to do anything. So I feel like the pre-show should mean something. I wouldn't put, you know, the X Division title on the line or anything. But I think the Knockouts tag team titles are perfect for the pre-show, personally. And I don't think it's a stale title, personally. I think they've only had a handful of champions. It's never felt... I shouldn't say never. It has at times felt like they have no tag teams, but they actually do have a lot of knockouts. I think the men's tag team division had been feeling like a one team division for a really long time.
Right.
I think that's more stale than the, I mean, now we're getting obviously the Briscoes and all that shit. It's different, but I thought the males tag team division was much more stale than the Knockouts, personally. And I don't know. Excuse me. You know, they've had Fire and Flava. They had a couple good runs. You know, Jordan Grace and Rachel Ellering, you know, they were cool champions. Decay was the champions. They were placeholders. The Inspiration were champions. I thought they were good champions. And I think that the Influence are good champions. So, you know, as long as they're not trying to do too much, too fast, I think it's fine. Like, the teams can have long title reigns. They don't have to wrestle every week. You know, like, I don't know. I'm not bored by it. I think they've found pretty creative ways to find opponents and everything. Yeah. So I got no problem. It's not the other part of what I said about them on a pre-show is like they don't have this long, like prestigious history. Like it's not disrespectful to the titles to be on the pre-show.
Right.
You know, yeah, they had them once upon a time, but I mean, didn't Diener hold the title at one point and Eric Young? I mean, obviously it's been kind of a joke, so it's not, it don't bother me being on the pre-show. I think the pre-show is perfect for it.
Yeah.
But I had always pitched since before they had the titles where it was the, I said it's the perfect traveling title for them.
You did say that, and I thought that was a great idea. And they should still do that, right? Like, just send some cameras to Northeast Wrestling and have them have a, you know, a match with some people who otherwise wouldn't have a match. Like, I think that's actually, that's great content. Like, they should, you know, Scott D'Amore should set that up. Put them on a tour of, you know, wrestling shows that you know are going to draw well. Do some vignettes of, you know, hey, oh, we're going on our tour or whatever. And yeah, and then just follow them, tape the matches, and let's see how it goes. You know what I mean? Like, I think that could be great content.
I think that's perfect for, they're doing this digital, I don't know what they call it, the exclusive match every week. You know, I think something like that, defending the Knockout tag team titles in different promotions would be cool.
Right. So. Totally agree.
You got any other thoughts on that? I know I spoke majority of the time.
Yeah, thanks for sucking up all the air in the room. Jesus. No, I agree with you. And I feel similar to the Digital Media Championship. You know, the titles are as good as you booked them, you know? Like, come up with some good stuff for the titles, and we'll find them interesting. Give me a compelling story. Put the title in there. Presto, bing, pool, pow. Bring, boom, pow, surprise.
Bang.
Makes it interesting just like that.
Mike Breen, bang. Yeah. What does he say? Is that what he says? Bang when they make the
bang!
Three. Yeah, it's always the team you're not rooting for that he does it for. Like the worst feeling in the world.
Oh my god!
All right, so Simon Jasper said, with Slammiversary's emphasis on its 20-year history, should Impact slowly bring TNA back as its name brings up the six-sided ring? Do they need to? Has the TNA stink? LOL, TNA faded away. Enough for it to be valid. So basically what he's saying is, you know, at this point, you know, LOL, TNA and all that, people. So when they became Impact again, people were still calling it TNA for like 2 years. That's not really the case now. Now it's Impact Wrestling. There's one or two bozos here or there. So, TNA, but for the most part, it's Impact. So basically what he's saying, erase some of that negativity to where they could kind of go back to TNA at this point and it would be seamless, or, you know, are we going to go right back to the TNA stink just coming with the name?
Listen, I would say it's a bad idea. Move forward. You got to move forward. Think of things that will move the company forward, not backwards. Like, I was, yo, like, okay, like, I always go into these sidebars because I think that it's important to set, to relate it to an example that more people are into, right? So, with AEW buying Ring of Honor, to me, it's redundant. It's redundant because, like, the ROH audience evolved to being the AEW audience. It's the same people. That's why they seamlessly introduce people who are in ROH and expect them to get a pop, and they often do, and they offer no explanation of who the character is or a backstory, because you're just supposed to know because you watched ROH, didn't you? Right? So, but to me, the idea that you're going to also have a TV deal and a TV audience for Ring of Honor separately, it's redundant, because the people who watch that, they're already the ones watching AEW, and the people who were in Ring of Honor, they're already in AEW now. So why would you go watch an ROH reboot? So anyway, similar thing here, right? Like, I think it's great that Impact pays homage to TNA's past. TNA had a great, fun past, but they have to move forward again. What are you saying to the 15-year-old wrestling fan who has no idea about TNA. Like, what's your pitch for them? You know what I mean? When I was, you know, 15 years old, gosh, I think that was when the Montreal Screwjob happened. You know what I mean? Like, wrestling was freaking amazing. I'm hooked for life, okay? Like, what's your pitch for that fan? Don't worry about TNA. Bring TNA out at Slammiversary every year. We'll have our anniversary and we'll pay homage to the past and we'll honor TNA. We'll bust out the six-sided ring and we'll do a Monsters Ball and an Ultimate X and all the whole deal, a King of the Mountain, everything. That can be the theme for Slammiversary every year. But for the rest of the year, you got to find a way to move forward. Forget TNA. I'm not saying forget it. Don't have to forget it. Impact's not forgetting it, but that's nothing new. That's not going to get any new people. That's the thing that if somebody who's a new fan looks up TNA, they're not going to find anything good. Okay. So you want to move forward. If you like the company, if you like the brand, you want to see the brand move into the future. So like as much as, you know, WWE does these things that annoy the fan base, they are the things that have kept this company moving forward. Like a lot of people were, you know, shocked and annoyed when WWE cannibalized its own pay-per-view business to, you know, have people subscribe to the WWE network for $10 a month, right? And you know, not get all pay-per-views for free, but included, right? And then people were even more shocked when they took the WWE network and sold it to Peacock. But ultimately, like, these things all move the business forward, man. They move the business forward. So Impact Wrestling needs to move forward. They should not be trying to find ways to reintroduce the TNA name. No, 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 no.
You know, the way that it's been one of the things I've been most critical about was the over-reliance on the library and the TNA stuff. I think it wouldn't bother me as much as if we had a good amount of those wrestlers still around. You know, like WWE, if they were like, hey, we want to throw back to like 15 years ago, and they're just every week we're going to play some old shit, some old matches. You're going to see Randy Orton still there. That's the first name that comes to mind. But there's people who are still Sheamus. There were people who were 15 years ago there that are still here today. Right. And I think, like, they could pull that off. You know what I mean? But, like, with these guys, it just seems like a complete different other company. And there's just no connection to that group of wrestlers with the ones who they have today. You know? Well, so I think that's what bothers me, that it's just such a different product. And I think oftentimes the stuff they show looks better and sounds better and the wrestlers are better. And it's like, I don't, you know. But if, I mean, a like, lot of those we people know, were still here, I think it would work.
Yes. No, that's part of it too. Right, exactly. Like, if the people who whose history were in TNA, the people who you are like wanting to wave that flag, if they didn't have the most horrible experiences dealing with TNA, right, and they wanted to come back and honor TNA the way people want to go back and honor Ring of Honor, right? Then like, yeah, that this would be great. But I mean, but they don't, right? Like they don't. Like AJ Styles dogs the shit out of TNA any chance he gets. And again, if you're familiar with his experience, you can't blame him. You can't blame him. So like, so that's fine, right? But again, I think that you want to move the company forward. Like you want to move the company forward, move the brand forward. Like you got to think of the young fan, right? Like look in the crowd at Impact Wrestling. It's not young people, okay? Like pull up some wrestling from 1998, 1999 and look in the crowd. It's young people, it's college kids and teenagers. You know, like those were the people who were at those shows, and they were loud and lively and a lot of fun. And that's where you want to be. That's what you want your shows to sound like. Look, pull up an AEW show now. It's a lot of younger people, and the shows are loud and lively and a lot of fun. And so you want to get that younger audience.
Yeah, you do. It's just younger people have energy. You know, I had this conversation with my kids today. Like, it's a summertime. They're staying up till like 2, 3, 4 in the morning, sleeping all damn day. And I'm just like, you know, I was telling them today, it's a difference between people your age and mine. Like, I can't wait for 10 o'clock to come so I can go to bed. Like, you know, it's just natural. Younger people have more energy. They're going to be louder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad at the six-sided ring coming back. I kind of liked it. I know the wrestlers don't necessarily. And I think I was even in support of them getting rid of it at one point. But I think back then I was desperate to see the company move forward. And, you know, at the time, I'm like, yo, the TNA name is hurting them. I was in support of them changing the name. But I thought all the TNA stuff was hurting them. So there was a time where I'm like, yo, get rid of the six-sided ring, get rid of the name, make it have nothing to do with TNA. But that's, again, I was just desperate for change, desperate for them to move forward. But now looking back, like, I wouldn't mind the ring coming back. And there were some great match concepts that they had in the TNA days that I would just like to see. I mean, they're doing the Queen of the Mountain match. People have been asking for that for a long time. That exact match, Queen of the Mountain. People have been asking for that. So they've had some good ideas that I would like to see more of that come back. I wasn't a big fan of like Feast of Fire to Race for the Case or anything like that, but you know, they had some good ideas.
Feast of Fire used to be so funny because it was like they used to back themselves into a corner so badly with the Feast of Fire thing because you knew somebody was getting fired. You know what I mean? And it's just right. Like, it takes away the surprise of it when you know somebody's getting fired. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
yeah, I know.
But that used to be like fun things, you know. I mean, like, listen, I think to me, part of the fun of looking back on TNA was them just trying stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, again, like the Feast or Fired idea is it's okay, right? It's not terrible. It's not the worst, but it's not great. But it's them trying stuff, right? Like it's their take on the Money in the Bank situation. And it's like, it's a complete, you know, complete oversaturation of the concept, but it was fun. It was them trying something different. You know what I mean? Like, and so do more. You don't have to be TNA to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have
that's
to
what
be
I was getting
TNA
at, yeah.
to do that. So like, again, like I said, I don't think that Impact should shy away from the history of being TNA. And like I said, you know, do a show or two a year where you bust out the TNA theme. You know, make it a lot of fun. You know, bust out the six-sided ring. Go get the old concept which AEW totally stole of the two tunnel entrance ramps. You know what I mean? do that stuff. That'd be fine. But you have to find a way to move this product forward. And by the way, that's a perfect example. Like the thing I just said, that the two tunnel entrance ramps, if they did that today, what would the chatter be online? You stole that from AEW.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, but again, it's a reminder that TNA is long in the past. And that's a good thing because that brand name was damaged beyond repair. They do not need to be trying to slowly bring it back. That does no one any good.
I think kind of to allude to what you were saying, there's concepts they can use from TNA without being TNA. You know, as you said, with these matches, bring back that creativity, that mindset of like, hey, let's do something no one else is doing. But you don't have to be TNA to do that. You just have to have that mindset. What worked in the TNA era? Do more of that and do less of what didn't work, you know? So I don't think they should go back to the name at all. But there's concepts and there's ideas that they could revisit. but putting a modern twist on it. Pat Crothamel, he said, should Impact experiment with doing their Impact Plus event and tapings in two separate cities because of poor ticket sales from one night to the next? That has been something for a while now, that they'll get this like great gate for the Impact Plus show or pay-per-view, and then the next night there's a TV taping and it's just like there's almost no one there. And I don't know. I don't have an answer for how you carry that excitement over. I think it has to do with fatigue a little bit. That's what I have to take a guess. I have talked many times about going to Bound for Glory. This was the one Cody showed up at, the final deletion, not the final deletion, but the Great War. EC3 versus Lashley in the main event. Like, I love that show. It was a great pay-per-view. And then the next night of tapings, I went there. And I was scared to death because there was probably 100 people in the crowd. And this was the night Eddie Edwards won the title. And I was scared to death to watch this on television because I was like, there is nobody here. As a matter of, because I always used to sit off camera. I'm not a super fan like that. I don't like to get up front and be seen and shit. So I'm always like off camera. I try to be at least. And the area I was sitting in where Bound for Glory was packed. I would sit where like the special invites would sit, or like SoCal Val was a couple seats ahead of me, you know what I mean? Or some of the wrestlers' families would sit there. Like, that's where I had my seat at. I had a better connection with Impact at the time than I do now. But anyway, the next night, my family and I, we're the only people in that section. Like, it was basically like when the wrestler was coming out, it was the wrestler's right side. It was kind of off camera. That's where I would sit, packed for Bound for Glory. The next night, my ex and I had two of my kids with me. We're the only four people in that entire section.
Wow.
So I'm sitting here like, oh my God, this is going to look like shit on TV. And somehow they made it work. I'm the miracles of modern day television, man, because it did not look that bad. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the night, there's always like some park goers who were like filter in and out, but there was nobody there, dude. And then when we did, when I went to NWA's Empower, I mean, packed, dude, packed. Like, see, I went to Bound for Glory in Chicago, and I want to say probably about 2,500 people there. It was not 5,000. I don't want to get into that argument with people again. About 2,500 people there. I'm going to say the NWA event probably was that or more. It was probably 25 to 3,000. Like, I mean, sardines in this place. I go the next night for a TV tapings. There's probably 200 people there. So, right. I don't know what it is like that. People don't really care about showing up to TV. So I don't know that it's moving around to a different city. Maybe moving to a different city helps. I don't really know. But regardless of how packed these shows are, the TV tapings just don't seem to reflect that.
I think they should go live more. You know what I mean? Like, I think that like the product sounds and looks so much better when they go live. And, it's going to cost money to do more live episodes, but it makes the product look and sound so much better, and it makes it feel more spontaneous. And I think it probably gets the crowd more hyped up too, to know that they're performing in real time and they can go back to the locker room and check their phone and see how people responded to their match. Like, I think going live more would be a big shot in the arm to Impact's weekly episodes.
I think so too, and I'm actually surprised they haven't done that under the current regime, because even Dixie Carter and Pop TV would do a live episode every once in a while. Granted, it costs more. I know it costs a lot more to do, but I think it would help a lot if they were able to do a live show the night after a pay-per-view or night after a monthly special, which I know is probably not feasible, but if they did. I think that would be a game changer.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think more people would show up. I think more people would watch, because, whenever Dixie would do a live episode, people would tune in. So like, yo, what's going to happen? You know, it's live. Yep. Like, remember Moose showed up, Moose debuted. It was a live Destination X.
And there's always that element of what's going to happen, you know? Can I tell you one TNA thing that I would like them to bring back? I'd like them to bring back the bleacher style seating. Like, even if you don't have as many people, like, I think with the amount of people they have in their shows regularly now, seat them bleacher style. It looks more full and it looks more fun, I think, just seeing the fans kind of go up like that, as opposed to just kind of a flat row.
You see black off of
the background. You know what I mean? Like, they should definitely bring back the bleacher style seating.
Yes. Someone, I think it was Minor Lopez in the engagement group, posted a clip the other day. It was Jordynne Grace versus Kiera Hogan. And I think it was done in Canada. I don't know, but they you know, you could see a lot more of the people. I think it was a bleacher style. And I mean, it's night and day from the show right now. Right. I've always said, like, right now the setup is very depressing because you just see, you know, they're doing a better job. They're doing a much better job. We kept saying show people having fun. Like, they're doing a much better job of that. So let's not ignore that. But it's still, we're staring at, you know, six rows of people. A lot of the times their faces we recognize from every episode. So it's kind of like, man, you know, it would be great for them to go back to that.
Totally agree.
I think they were afraid of it in Orlando because there was a lot of people with their backs, you know, to the action, not paying attention on their phones. You could see people leaving. You could see when the seats were empty. And I think they got scared of that. But there's a lot more people that show up now.
Right.
Because the Impact Zone in Orlando, I mean, we're talking 250 people showing up for those, you know. So they got more people than that coming now. So,
yeah. So to me, that's all the more reason to do the bleacher style seating. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, make it look more, again, just make it look like there's more people there.
Yeah, because like, they're not that far off right now from a empty arena show. I mean, if you're not showing the people.
Right. It doesn't feel that way. Right. Exactly. And I think that if you elevate the crowd a little more, like, again, make them feel like they're seeing better, like not sitting behind anybody's head. Like, I don't know, man. I think it would make the show look a lot better. I think it might actually even energize the crowd a little bit. So I think that's something they should definitely look into.
Yeah. I remember the first episode they went red. It was Windsor, whatever the name is. And it was bleacher style. And I remember that episode. I was like, dude, yo, the red looks badass. And it was because they had like red lights on the fans and stuff too. Like, it looked cool. Like, they leveraged it to like make it look really, really cool.
Yeah.
But it also highlighted the fans. So, you know, I'm always complaining about the red, but that back then I thought it looked cool, but it was because the people were involved in the shot too.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't just looking at black, red, and eight people.
Right.
You know, like we do now. So, let's see. AK, I know you like this. AK Infinity. We talk about this every so often. He said, should Impact have a second show? What would you name it? How would you present it? I've always had the idea of doing like a YouTube show that was a kind of an open challenge type of theme, to where it's the general concept of like AEW Dark, to where, you know, you might see John Skyler wrestle or something, you know, that I always said, you know, grab three stars, three tag teams, whatever the case, you know, just three matches, bring in local indie and have them. I know this is complete like fantasy book and they never do anything like this, but just me just being creative and different. I'm like, kind of the Royal Rumble thing when they're like, grab a random number, you know, I don't know what the hell you call it. And you just pick a name, like, oh, Wrestling Crazy Steve. You know what I mean? That way, right. I don't know. Just, it's kind of like some intrigue, something different, but kind of like an open challenge type of concept. Right. You know what I mean? That's what I've always thought would be kind of cool and different.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fine idea. Like, again, anything to like gimmicks are fun, man. Like, when Impact does it, people call it, you know, stupid TV. When WWE does it, they call it sports entertainment. when AEW does it, they call it, oh my God, I love it.
Five stars.
right. Five stars. Greatest thing in the world. Highly recommend.
So. You know, Cornette did a podcast, I'm going to say maybe a month and a half ago. Some fan did the numbers, and I want to say, I don't remember what the percentage was. It was something wild that I think one out of every this year, I think it was this year and last year, one out of every three AEW matches, I believe they said one out of three was a gimmick match of some sort. And, but they've had some episodes where they've been like, they've had multiple gimmick matches and then some where they have none. So, you know, it's a law of averages, but they have some episodes where there's several and they have pay-per-views right. where there's several. So it was something like one out of three or one out of every four. And I'm like, my God, man, no one says anything because the TNA, I mean, you would see on the Facebook every time that, oh, it's a Monsters Ball. And people are like, oh my God, another stipulation match, another gimmick match, you know, they got destroyed on social media for that. And AEW doesn't at all.
Yo, do you remember, just sidebar here, do you remember when the Impact and YouTube Insider concept came out and you said that Impact was quietly giving up on the Impact Plus app? I just pulled up the Impact Plus app's Twitter page. They haven't tweeted since November 30th, 2021. And that was just a retweet of something from Impact Wrestling.
Wow.
The last original tweet on the Impact Plus Twitter page was Bound for Glory 2021 is available now on Impact Plus.
Oh my gosh. Yo. Again, that's what I was saying about the Digital Media Championship. Like you, it's like you have an idea, but it does not appear to have a plan like laid out. You know? That's why I was destroyed. What's that?
I feel like just see it through. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like and when it's over, just you know, like announce that it's over. You know, like announce that we're just migrating everybody to the YouTube Insider. Which by the way, I don't know why anybody wouldn't do the YouTube Insider as opposed to the Impact Plus app. It's cheaper. And I mean, the Impact Plus app, the thing I would like about the Impact Plus app is if you could just like, they have more like classic content on the Impact Plus app. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I think is cool. And like, again, sometimes I would love to just go watch some of that Spike TV era Impact Wrestling. I love, to me, that's my favorite era of Impact Wrestling. It was so good. And I mean, this is pretty good now though, but that was really good. That was really good. Like they felt like a major player in the wrestling space at that time. And yeah, it would be cool. Like if you have the Impact Plus app, they have like Unfinished Business. They have like, I think it's Unfinished Business Bound for Glory series 2013 or something like that. And there's like four dope ass matches on that. On it, it's like Austin Aries versus AJ Styles and like Nick Aldis versus like Jeff Hardy or something. But like there's like three dope ass matches on this one piece that basically like shows you how AJ Styles got to the main event of Bound for Glory in 2013. Just, you know, to me, again, that was just like, that was really good stuff, man. Like that was, they were touring, they were doing arenas. And I really like watching that. Like that, I remember like being a fan at that time and I just liked the wrestling. You know what I mean? I liked the wrestling show. I liked what they were putting on. I liked Brooke Tessmacher and Aces and Eights. Look it up, trust me. And it was a good product. I just enjoyed it. And so I'd like to see more of that. That's the stuff that I'm pretty sure that Spike TV era of Impact Wrestling is owned by Spike TV. Eric Bischoff hints all the time about the opportunity that was squandered by ruining Impact's partnership with Spike TV. And I believe part of that is because Spike was footing the bill for a lot of that production value. Like they were paying Hulk Hogan. and, you know, like a lot of that stuff. Like, that's why the product looked so much better when it was on Spike TV, because Spike was actually like a partner in producing the show. And right. So that's why it's never even come close to looking that good since then. I don't know how we got all way off topic there, but yes, the Impact Plus app is for shits.
Yeah, and I've said this many times where I mistook the app as it's a home for our library, but we're also going to give you like original content and stuff. And I kept saying, "Where's the original content?" And it never appeared, and it still hasn't appeared. And on the Insider, they seem like they've tried a couple of ideas, but it just there's just not consistency when it comes to any kind of content they put out. That's where I'm like, I don't really want them to do a separate show, because I think there's still so much room for improvement and impact on just a regular TV show,
right?
For it to look better, sound better, etc. I just don't think there's that focus, man. Dude, when they came out with Aftershock, and dude, I had people in bunches unsubscribe from me, tell me how negative I was being, because they came out with, "Hey, we're doing this Aftershock show." I shit all over it. I was like, number one, a kayfabe recap show, like nobody cares for that. And yeah. They have tried to do that many times. They did. They used to have Josh Matthews and Tyrus, Josh Matthews and Sanjay, I think. Like, they've tried to do it many times. They've tried to do a podcast. They've tried to do pre-shows, after shows. And they last like 4 episodes and then just disappear. So I was like, there's not a track record that – I don't even think that Aftershock exists anymore. I'm going to assume that it doesn't. But there's not a track record of like, "Hey, we're going to come out with this show and we're going to see it through." There's always like, and then it just disappears.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I just what I said with the weekly match on YouTube, they gave you an actual good match for like 3 weeks. And then they were like, "Yo, what indie show at a high school gym can we pull this week and give people?" You know? And at first they were keeping the matches really short. They were like, you know, I remember saying, "Well, we know the people watch for this amount of time on YouTube. That's what our engagement numbers look like. So we're going to keep it within that, you know." And then all of a sudden we get a 20-minute match of Brian Myers versus John Skyler.
Right.
You know, you know what I mean? It's just like, whoa, you know? So I feel like they gave up on that concept already, but
yeah.
So no, too much improvement can be made to jump into a second show.
Right.
Ethan Thomas, Thompson, is Impact/Anthem trying to grow Impact, or we talk about this a lot. Are they trying to grow Impact, or are they happy with where they're at right now as a big indie company? Will they ever get to the point where they are in bigger venues for Slammiversaries, Bound for Glories, or will they continue keeping at the level TNA was in its early years?
They would love to get to the level TNA was in its early years.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I think that I think, and again, somebody kind of brought this up a couple of weeks ago, and I think we talked about it on the show. Like, somebody posted a rumor, which I think has been completely unsubstantiated, and there was nothing to it, but it did get me to thinking. There was a rumor that Impact Wrestling was looking to replace Scott D'Amore, which, again, I think there's nothing to this. Like, I do not think it's true. But it did get me to thinking, if you were Scott D'Amore, how would you feel about this? And I was thinking, if you're Scott D'Amore, you might feel some type of way. Because, look, we can sit here and point out the things that Impact can do better all day. The truth is, those things cost money. Hiring a digital media strategist cost a lot of money, okay? Hiring a high quality marketing team cost money, okay? Better production value cost money. Long-term contracts that are exclusive for your wrestlers so they're not wrestling everywhere on any indie show, that cost money, okay? Marketing your program, producing it better, making it sound better. All that stuff costs money. And if the people with their hands on the money faucet were going to do so, if they were going to turn that money faucet on and give Scott D'Amore a real chance to win, I think he could win because they've been putting on a great show, you know, but give him some money to lure some name talent away from an AEW or a WWE. Give him some money to, you know, to hire a high quality promotional machine, you know, give him some money to just put some bells and whistles on the show. But they've been putting the show together with like the bare minimum. You know, the first thing they did when they came in was cut contracts, right? EC3 gone, Lashley gone, Eli Drake gone. Oh, you think you might want to go to WWE? I bet they'd like to see you too. All right, guess what? We'll work it out where you can just go. You can just go. That was the first thing they did when they came in. So they've been on a directive to show that they can run this thing. I keep saying they, but I mean Scott D'Amore. He's been on a directive clearly to, and I'm no kind of insider, but you just got to go by what you see, right? Like he's clearly been trying to run this program on a shoestring budget or close to it since he's taken it over. And I think the powers that be, if they're paying attention, they can see that they're putting on a pretty good wrestling show and that he's done a good job generating buzz in a lot of ways around big events. Give him the money, man. See what he can do. You know, give him the money for some serious marketing, some serious promotion, to sign some high name talent and see what he can make out of Impact Wrestling.
We often say they're content with putting on a good wrestling show. We don't necessarily really mean, I mean, we mean it, but we don't. Like, do they want to grow? Do they want to be better? Absolutely. We're not accusing them of not wanting those things. We're not accusing them of saying, oh, this is good enough. I do think they want to do more, but I don't think it's the priority it needs to be. I think there is some truth to that, that they're happy with what they're doing and don't see the kind of term I'm looking for. There's not a sense of urgency, I think that's a good way of putting it. There's not a sense of urgency to be better. I'll put it like that. I think they want to be better, but there's not that sense of urgency. And the reason I kind of know this is because I was kind of in the business of this for a while. I've said this a few times on the show. When I was stationed in Florida with the Air Force, I was a what we call a pre-deployment instructor, ground combat instructor, 17-day course. Troops had to come through our course before they deployed downrange. We just did all sorts of training, from just radios to patrols, you know, foot patrols, convoys, you know, hand-to-hand combat type of shit. So we had our 17-day course. And at the end of it, every 17-day course, we sat down. What are three things that we did really well? What are three things we got to improve on? And then in the next class would come around and we would do more of what worked and focus on those three things that weren't good. And then the next class would come and we would continue that concept. So I was in the business of that for a long time of, we had a 17-day course. I'm comparing that to a loop of tapings. We would do that. How do we get better for the next one? I don't see that. So because I was just, that was my life for 4.5 years, I can see when someone's doing that and when they're not. So when I watch the show, I don't see that improvement from episode to episode. That's like, yo, this loop was like this. How do we improve it for the next one?
Right.
I did see that under Dixie Carter, in the Pop TV era. I did see changes from tapings to tapings. And I'm going to give Dixie the credit for that because I don't see that with the NWA stuff right now. Because there's NWA stuff that's like really effing bad right now. And then the next loop is the same crap. So I'm going to give Dixie the credit on that one. But I saw that with Dixie. I don't see it now. So that's why I say I don't think there's a sense of urgency of like, we pointed out, hey, the color correction, okay? They didn't fix that on the next loop. They didn't fix that on the next one. it was like 4 or 5, and then all of a sudden we started seeing improvement.
Right.
So
right.
That's where we were like, hey, they're content with a good wrestling show. You know.
I think that's fair. I think that's
and
very
I think
fair.
What it really stood
out
to me
by what you actually see.
Yeah. I think when it really stood out to me was during the pandemic, the empty arena stuff. You know, like I've talked about that a lot where I just this is my favorite company, but I know I piss people off when I say this. I thought they did the worst empty arena show out of everybody.
Yeah.
The wrestling was fine. I think wrestling on Impact is the best out of any company. Because there's, you know, they don't flip and dive when it's not necessary. There's not super finishers and 50 near falls. Like, there's ring psychology. Like, I think it's the best wrestling show. But the overall presentation of empty arena wrestling, for me, I was depressed watching their show. And I even watched the Ring of Honor empty arena. And the difference with them was that the commentary was so good. You guys know what I'm talking about because he did matches for Impact. I forgot his name already. Ian Riccaboni. Commentary was so good that you almost didn't pay attention that there was no people there. But when they came out and said, yo, we do empty arena wrestling better than anybody, that's when I was like, yo, these people don't want to improve the way they need to. Because right, there's no one in their right mind that saw what WWE was doing with the, what they called the Thunderdome.
Yep.
And with AEW, you know, they would have wrestlers out there. You know, and again, I'm bringing up Ring of Honor. Yeah, they were empty, but they just had this incredible commentary where we were getting like bad jokes between Josh and Madison, you know? And I was just like, no one in, if someone is looking at this product and is like, yo, we're doing this better than everybody, I was like, they're delusional. Right. That's how I looked at it. Like, so I was getting like really pissed off during those times. And now I've like come back around to like really enjoying the show. But like back then, man, I was struggling. So that's a really long-winded answer, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think there's been a sense of urgency to be like, hey, this can be better, this can be better, this can be better. I just think there's a lot that they're like is good enough. They want to grow in theory, but there's a lot that they think is good enough that's not.
Right. Yeah, no, I think you're dead right about all that, honestly. I think you're right about all of that.
Donald Hill, I'll let you talk first here since I was so long-winded on that one. Donald Hill said, with Impact having difficulty signing big names and growing the product, do you think Impact should become a super super indie, kind of like ROH was? Let's see. Kind of like ROH was before Tony Khan bought them. So should they embrace more being a super indie rather than try to pretend like they're...
Right.
You know.
I don't think Impact should embrace being more small time. No, I don't. I don't think I don't think there's any growth in that. If you want to get better, right? If you want to grow the product, you got to embrace moving forward. So like, I do think they should bring in people from the indies. They should bring in the most popular people on the indies they could find and promote them, because they might bring a couple more eyeballs to the product. And, you know, and you know, book them for a loop of shows. You know, get, you know, whoever is the Brian Danielson on the indies right now, and bring them in for 4 shows. Let him promote and get his fan base up and have it all lead up to a run in with one of your guys where he ultimately loses. Right? Like, do that with a bunch of people. Do that with some women's tag teams. But I don't think that Impact should be trying to drop down to be a super indie. Like, there's enough of that. Like, I think they have a good groove as far as their wrestling and their storytelling. Like, they're in a good spot, man, in terms of the product. You know, they just got to pour more, you know, more resources into it. Like, again, try to get better. Don't dial it back.
I in my heart of hearts feel it's the best wrestling show on TV. If you're putting everything on the same playing field. Now, when you're talking production value, all that stuff, they're not even close, which is what the problem is at the end of the day, because the million people are watch AEW, a million people watch the WWE, then you turn on Impact and it looks nothing like that. Like, you just, you just naturally be like, I'm not going to watch this, you know. But if we're talking the actual creative and the matches, and yeah, man, it's, I mean, it's better than what everyone else is doing, in all honesty. I already kind of forgot the question, so I gotta look at it here again. But oh yeah, as far as the super indie, I think they're just in this weird place where it's like they don't want to go indie, because you're almost admitting defeat at that point. If you're like, Joe, we're gonna become Ring of Honor, because they've always seen themselves as above Ring of Honor,
right?
And I think they would think it's a failure if they're like, all right, we're ROH now. We're what ROH was. And I think they're just in a weird place where they're like, we kind of want to have some new stars, but then like we just can't control ourselves to not sign the Rhinos and the Heaths and these dudes from the mid card of WWE and put them at the top. Like they can't control themselves when it comes to that. That's just what they've always done. It doesn't matter who runs the company. That's always what they do, which is just fine. I mean, it's good to see recognizable talents, especially when they're like debuts. I mean, you want it to be someone, you know.
Yep.
Did you see the AEW episode where Butcher and the Blade debuted?
Yeah.
Like in the beginning. Yes. And if you guys don't know, the Blade is Braxton Sutter. The people had no clue who the hell they were.
Right.
And it was like, all right, you know, so we don't want to see that. We don't want to see some rando freaking debut on Impact and we're supposed to act like we, you know who they are. But
right,
so they're just like in this weird place. Like, do we get people who they know, or do we build the new talent? Like, I just don't think they're just in a weird place, man. It's because of where the company used to be and where it's at now. It's like they don't want to let go of that and they don't want to embrace this. They're trying to find somewhere to meet in the middle, and I don't envy them. I don't.
Right.
That's why we say, do they know their target audience?
Yeah.
And that's why we always say, no, they don't, because I just don't think they know which direction they want to go.
You got to make a choice on who you want to be.
Yeah. So, you know, they try to do a little bit of everything. All right. So last one, I got to unlock my phone here. Ayo Adebayo. Can't use that last name, dude. Bam Adebayo was complete ass in the playoffs, dude. That was embarrassing. But AO says, thoughts on the throwback intro? Should they keep doing it towards Slammiversary? So they did this, the throwback intro for this episode. And right away, I'm like, oh my God, they're not playing We Own the Night. So I at first thought they switched the song. I was like, oh my God, like the day has come. We've been for 2.5 years now listening to this song 50 times an episode. I was like, the day has come. But then part of me was like, I think this is just like a throwback, whatever intro. I don't know if it was an older song that they used in the past. I don't recognize it. And then about 15, 20 minutes into the show, we get We Own the Night. I was like, oh, fuck, man. So that's when it was confirmed that it was just like a throwback intro. I liked it. I think they should continue to do something like that. You know, while they're promoting Slammiversary, and make it different. You know, I keep saying, like, if you promote the Impact Plus show, the pay-per-view, and New Japan, all the We Own the Night, it all sounds like you're just promoting the same show and the graphics aren't any different. So with Slammiversary, yeah, do something, kick off the show different, you know? I think that's great. So, and it's a quicker, it's a quicker intro too than the We Own the Night stuff.
I totally agree with that, and it kind of goes along with what I've been saying the whole time, which is like, yes, embrace the TNA stuff, especially in the lead up to Slammiversary. I love the idea of, let's do some TNA theme stuff leading up to our 20th anniversary. So yes, I liked it. I want to see them do more of that. Like, what I'm hoping and what I think will happen is there will be an entrance that is reminiscent of like each different era of Impact Wrestling, which I think is actually really cool. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else they got up their sleeves. You know, God bless this production team, man, because they're making some fun stuff. You know what I mean? They're making some fun stuff, but I feel like there's a lot of places where it could be better. But I think the people who are, you know, boots on the ground, you know, working with this content. I think they're creating some really good fun stuff for us to talk about.
I'm really curious to see what this angle of Honor No More, because they did the Chris Sabin Frankie Kazarian match, you know, very TNA thing where there was no finish. And I was like, I think they're trying to do a, you know, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian against Motor City Machine Guns. That's where I thought it was going. I still think those four are going to be involved, but it seems like it's going to be those four against Honor No More. That's what I think they're doing here. That's what makes sense, at least. So I'm really curious. If Kenny King loses his spot in the Ultimate X, I'm going to be furious. I'm just throwing that out there right now. This dude has not beat anybody. Honor No More has not beat anybody. And when Kenny King won that match, and I'm like, cool, you know, like someone's getting a title shot out of this group.
Right.
A singles title shot, you know what I mean? And now they're teasing he's going to lose that spot. I'm fairly certain he is, because why tease it if he's not going to? That's
right.
Not how wrestling works.
They definitely are presenting this like, oh, he got tricked.
Right. To someone that we don't know who. I mean, I know it's Blake Christian, but like he wrestled like what, two matches for Impact before? Like he right. doesn't look, he's a talent, but he doesn't look any different than, you know, some Jay Brone jobber you bring in. I mean, I'm just saying he doesn't have that distinct look. So there's probably people watching that like, I don't know who this is. And why is he challenging Kenny King? And why is he going to take his spot? You know, so he's a good-ass wrestler. Don't get me wrong, but I just would rather see Kenny King in it by far.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny King's really good, right? It makes sense that you would give him more opportunities to shine, especially in a big spot. I'd put Kenny King in the Ultimate X match.
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like all these Ultimate X qualifiers, now granted, I know I unfollowed their social accounts, but I don't I do see people retweet the match graphics and stuff, and I never see qualifier for Ultimate X. I don't see any of that anywhere. It's not on the graphic, you know, nothing. And then they just have the match and like, oh, by the way, this is the qualifier. Like, AEW is doing, you know, they're doing the Owen Hart tournament, and like the match graphic for the tournament was different than the rest of the show. So I don't know why for the Ultimate X qualifiers, they don't do like a similar concept. Like if we were to get a completely different graphic, then that's social media marketing.
Right.
But if they made that different, then we'd be like, oh shit, that's the qualifying match. But I don't think they like really accurately communicate it. You know, they say it. I'm not saying they completely ignore it, but
yeah,
you know, I'm just noticing that for these, but
yeah. All right, we got anything else in the mailbag?
Nope. That's going to do her.
All right. I think that was fun. Hope you guys enjoyed the questions. As always, stay engaged on the Impact Lounge in Facebook engagement group and drop your questions there. And when we drop these mailbags every couple of weeks, then we'll be sure to get to your question. Make sure you leave your name and where you're from so we can shout you out. BQ, you want to tell the people where they can find you out here on social media?
All right, so I'm at BQ Speaks on Twitter. I've been pretty silent on there. I got a pending job application with the Secret Service, so I'm watching. I'm not joking either. So I'm watching my social media at the moment a little bit, my public social media. So I'll be a little more active here soon, hopefully.
All right. And you can find me at TW Talking About, or you can follow the podcast page at Talking About Pod. Always some good fun content going up over there. Thank you guys so much. Before you leave, make sure that you hit that like button, let people know how much you like this video. Hit that subscribe button so you subscribe to the channel, and hit that notification bell so you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new fire content on this page. But if you really like the show, if you like the channel, if you want to support us, the best thing you can do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the conversation. For BQ, I'm TW. Peace.